But what I will say in my short time here is there are a lot of guys in the room that can step up to lead. I'm seeing it day to day. Making us better every day, Brody. Making us better every day. So having said that, I've had some conversations with Pendles around what he wants to do in terms of the leadership, in terms of captain. And gives me great satisfaction to announce he's still going to be the captain for 2022. So congratulations, mate. Now, we had conversations around what that looked like. It was always going to be his decision to be made, and you know, clearly he's still got a burning desire to do that in the short term. I know particularly he wants to drag a lot more with him along the journey and get the next person in line or next few people to step forward with it. But it's we wish you all the best this year, mate. Lead well.
Craig McRae, the new Collingwood coach, announcing yesterday to the playing group and through social media, of course, to the Pies faithful and footy fans in general that Scott Pendlebury will captain again in 2022. Nick Maxwell is the GM of operations and performance at Collingwood. Doesn't come as any great surprise. Maxie, thanks for joining us.
G'day, Goss. Thanks for having me.
Really, as Fly just said then, Craig McRae, that really was up to whether Scott wanted to continue or not. I suppose he's earned that right to decide whether he wants to be the leader or not.
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. I think that he's earned the right to make the call when he feels the time's right. And look, there's probably two ways we could go. And we've had discussions with Pendles, or I have, and Bucks before me for the last couple of years, just on what that looks like, just to make sure there isn't a real void when the time comes for him to step down. And as I said, there's two ways we could have gone. We could have stuck with that, and we could have also had the change, because we've had so much change throughout the club that why not make another one? And I understand that as well. But at the same time, I think it's always good to have someone who has that experience. And when you are going through a lot of change, new game plan, new coaches, new performance staff, it is sometimes good just to have someone who is that rock, who's been there and done that. So, as you said, he's earned the right to make the call. But I guess it doesn't... It doesn't mean we haven't got guys coming through. In the last few years, Adams, Howe and Sidebottom have been our vice-captains, and those three, and Darcy Moore's another one who have sort of had interrupted, seasons over the last couple of years. So we've seen some great stuff from them in terms of their leadership, but at the same time, we think that Scotty's the right man for us in this season.
Yeah, and when Craig McRae mentions that Scott, and I'm sure you're across this just as part of your role, when you talk about the next in line, who are we talking about? I know you talked about your leadership group there, and still Darcy Moore is coming out of contract, so whether that's going to be a lure to stick around, maybe to take the baton going forward, I'm not too sure. But what other players inside your list that may be a bit of a surprise to the listeners right now that you think have the opportunity to step up, maybe not be the next captain, but certainly be a part of the leadership group?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because you get, Scotty's done it for 9 years now, and I guess I was five before that. But then we had Scotty Burns just for one. So it just sort of depends on where we get to by the end of the year and what it looks like from the team perspective. As you say, we're not... Darcy is out of contract, and there's some other guys that are out of contract who have that leadership capabilities. But I guess that middle tier coming through who's a bit younger than the Adams, Howe, Sidebottom types is your Darcy Moore. Maynard continues to step up and take leadership. Crisp has been another one who's been very good. Probably the one that is a bit quieter, that people probably don't understand how good of a leader he is, but around the club he's highly respected, is Jamie Elliott. But he's also in that, I think, that 27, 28-year-old range. So, again, it'll just be whether or not you want someone to come in as a stopgap for a year or two, or whether you want to really invest in someone who's younger coming through.
Staying with Scott Pendlebury, how's his pre-season going? We know he had a bit of that setback as well. Where is he at in regards to how much work he's doing?
Yeah, he was flying before that, obviously, the little, crack in his fibula, which he's had a couple of times before, but this is on the other leg. So he's recovered really well from that, and he's back into full training now. But he's going to play a bit of footy at halfback as well. So I guess for us, that's good to have that experience back there and be able to see the field. He sees it so well and can set the play up for us. So he'll obviously go through the midfield at different stages, but we really need to find out, those young midfielders coming through. So we know the ones that have been around a while, guys like Adams and those type of players. But we want to see what Reece McGuinness and Finn McRae and those type of guys can do with, extended periods of time through the midfield and give them that chance to develop. So Scotty will spend some time at halfback as well as going through that midfield. But, he's looking really good, and he's just the ultimate professional. So we expect nothing less from him.
So the Nathan Buckley era goes halfway through the year. Robert Harvey takes over, and there's the sort of that's the gap in between the new coach. How much of an impact has Craig McRae had on this group already through one pre-season? We're not going to be able to judge his game day coaching until we get a good sample size. But from your observation, how has the dynamics changed inside the group? Is he more of an empowering coach than his predecessors? Or how does he go about it? Give an insight to Collingwood fans.
Yeah, I guess his number one is around the culture and the environment. That's what he wants to get right. And when he came in and presented to the board, he didn't present a set game plan. This is exactly how we're going to play, and this is what our offense looks like. This is what our defense looks like. He just had some sort of themes that are going to come through the game plan. And I guess that's something, the game plan's evolved over the past sort of 3 months. And because he hasn't got this set thing in his mind that this is how it has to be. And that's been really good because we've had so many new coaches as well. So Brendan Bolden and Justin Lepage coming in, obviously they've got experience in having worked with Craig before. So that's something that's really important. But at the same time, we've got guys like Hayden Skipworth and Scott Selwood who have been here before, who are, I guess, understand how the team plays and what they're really good at and some of the areas we need to be better at. So we've been able to mould that together along with all our development coaches as the last few months has gone on. So I guess you're going to see, again, it will certainly be a defensive team. I think that's important. If you want to be successful, you need to be someone who can stand up defensively. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a bit more movement going forward with the ball. There'll be a lot more kicking the contest forward of the ball, and our guys will be ready for that.
Have you set goals? I mean, all footy clubs have hopes, and you play to make finals, and you play to win finals, and you play to win flags. But everyone you speak to, or in particular Collingwood fans, and they're a little bit removed from the inner workings of a footy club, but they say, oh, we're rebuilding, we're prepared for some pain. I'm not so sure Collingwood fans like pain, to be brutally honest with you, Maxie. you're very much in the forefront of everyone's opinions, win, lose or draw, in particular the opposition fans. What as a group and as a club, as a football department, is the expectation this year?
Yeah, Craig's been massive on not putting a ceiling on what we can achieve this year, and I think that's really important when you've got so many young players. So we've obviously gone through the draft pretty hard over the last 2 years, and it's probably about 15 sort of 1 to 2 year players who have come in. And I guess COVID's the one that throws a real spanner in the works around that, because we just don't know what these guys are capable of, because they missed so much football coming into the last 2 years, and obviously across the last 2 years with interrupted state league seasons. So we're really confident with a guy called Derek Hine, who's one of the best in the business at finding young talent and bringing it in. And now we think Josh Fraser's coming as our development coach, and he's someone who's really comes with a lot of experience from Carlton and working with the Northern Bullhounds, who we rate really highly. And he beat out some pretty impressive people for that role. And even just seeing him over the last couple of months and how he's working with these young players, you just see that some of them just going out of their skin straight away. And I saw a photo on one of the socials going around with Finn McRae, and people were blown away by how big he looks and how solid he looks. And it's exciting to see these guys, because you just don't know what that growth is. So there's certainly no ceiling on what we can achieve. But I'll tell you one thing, Craig, myself, Lepper and Skipworth and Bolts and these guys, we hate losing. And we're going to be very competitive. We're going to be pushing that really hard. So rebuild's certainly not a word that we're using around the club at all.
Good to hear. Nick Maxwell, GM of Operations and Performance at Collingwood, our guest on SEN Mornings. Well, if one day cost won't get you, another might. How's he going, the new fella?
Sorry, mate, go again.
If one day cost won't get you, another one might. Now you've got another one on the list. How are the boys going working together? And are they working well together, or is there the sibling rivalry? How does it work?
Nah, they're best mates, the two of them, so they do everything together, which is a really good sign. And Josh probably didn't have the season he wanted last year due to a few changes in his role, but also some physical things with his own body. But he's come back really impressively, and we're loving the way that he's come back. And obviously Nick's one that everyone's really excited about. And we're not going to, we're going to take it slowly with him and protect him a little bit, because we don't want to just throw him in and put him in the midfield and just expect him to do it. And I guess from our perspective, what we've seen is a guy who's come in and just gets it, and he just looks like he fits in straight away. So that's one thing, but I guess the thing that's impressed me the most is his ability and desire to work, and that's in the gym, and to go and learn more with the coaches, sit down and understand game plan and roles. And he's someone who's just banging down the coach's door all the time. And I think when you get that combination of high-end talent and then someone who's got a work ethic that's really unrivaled for a young guy coming in, and you're going to get some impressive results as time goes on. So he's going to have ups and downs like every young player, but he's someone we're really excited about. He's fit into the program really well.
Nick, obviously you had your time there at GWS, and you're very much a Collingwood man now. We get that, but you're in the you talked about the leadership program for a few years ago. What does a decision by a footy club to have three leaders mean, like GWS? How do you see that? Co-captains, three leaders, big leadership groups. I'd be interested, and leadership is in your wheelhouse. So why do you need such big groups? Why would a club need three leaders? Not to be critical of their decision, but just give me your perspective.
Yeah, I think now, Goss, it's a lot harder than probably what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, when there's so many different elements to the game and to what's required in that role as captain. So it's not just going out there tossing the coin and trying to lead by example on the field. There's a lot of stuff that goes with marketing and sponsors and members and community and all that. So I guess it's easier to share it. And as you see, every single player, they go through different form slumps as well. So when you are the captain on your own, that pressure can mount. So it takes a pretty special individual to be able to handle all that and work through all that themselves. So I think what it does is it spreads around that responsibility, but at the same time, it also helps when you've got guys who actually think differently and are different. You don't want just the same person all the time in your leadership groups. You want people who can offer different opinions. And we had a guy I speak about a lot, and Ben Johnson, who a lot of people didn't really think that was probably a senior leader when he worked with me, but he was one of the most important people for me, because he would catch up with a lot of guys off the field and get an understanding of them away from the club, and then would help me, understand different things that were going on in their lives to help me lead them. So I think it takes all types, and you don't just want one mould. So I think those guys will complement each other really well up at the Giants.
I have to mention it, Jordan Dugowie's situation. There seems to be a development in the last 24 hours. He's still not at the football club. Can you, lines of communication with Jordan Dugowie from the football club at the moment, are there any?
Yeah, there are, and that comes through mostly through Ridey Graham, right, our GM, and our psych, and Jackie Lauder. So they've been working really closely with him. I guess along the lines of that, we're obviously disappointed he's in this position, and there's a lot to play out. He's as disappointed as anyone, but as I said, there's so much that has to go through before we can actually get on the front foot and be able to actually work through what it looks like to him coming back, and hopefully that's not too far away. But at the same time, we're just got to let that come through and let that play out. So I guess there's one point I do want to make on Geordie. I think that we do sort of hang guys now, and publicly, as soon as something happens, we just jump on it. And I think we need to take a breath at times and understand that there's a lot more to the situation than what people probably understand. And for me, just as an example, and this is not to excuse any situation that he finds himself in, so as I said, that'll play out, but I'll send a message to half a dozen guys and say, listen, guys, we've got this young fella who's 7 years old. He's at the Royal Children's. He's about to go in for chemo. Can you just send us a video just to wish him well? Geordie's the first one to send it back. He always stays out there for supporters and wants to get around the kids and help them all out. So I just worry at times that we just jump on guys and smash their character and who they are when people inside the club really see them through their own and understand it. So as I said, it's not to excuse anything that has happened and where he finds himself at the moment, but at the same time, we just need this to play out before we can really, make too many public statements about it.
So once it's played out, can I ask you, are you as a collective football department, as a group, talking about beyond 2022 for Jordan Dugowie? Because everyone thinks, not at all?
No, not at this stage. We just need to get all the information, as I said. So once we do, then we'll have our footy subcommittee, which is made up of Ridey, myself, Craig McRae, Paul Lucurio, who's our football director, and our CEO, Mark Anderson. So we catch up once a month and go through, strategic issues and looking forward and what that looks like. And once we've got all the information, we'll start to talk about that. But at this stage, until we've got that information and understand what his situation is, there's no point just jumping ahead.
Have you watched Nathan Buckley in the jungle at all?
I haven't, no. I've seen some different things come forward, come now and then from there, but I saw him fainted at one stage, so I'm going to have to find out what's going on with him about that.
He did speak about the Heritier Lumumba situation and being at the club and learning more and talking about way Collingwood handle themselves at press conferences and proud and all this sort of stuff, just wrong wording. Is it refreshing to see him now taking a step back, almost not admitting fault? I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm asking. But seeing it differently from a different perspective now that he's removed himself from the Collingwood bubble, can you see his viewpoint on that and the way it was handled. You're embedded in the footy club and you know, you've been around the footy club when all of that controversy was playing out. Tell us your thoughts on the way that he's handled things and can you see his perspective?
Oh, absolutely. I think that everyone can, and that's part of what happened with the Do Better report was for us to learn more and to really dig into it. And I know a lot of people were critical of us even going through that process, but I think if you go through even, and I've spoken to just mates and stuff about this, the language that we would use 20 years ago when you're sort of coming through when you're a teenager, some of the words you were using, the language you were using, that's not appropriate today like it was then, or it was just something that was normal then. So there's a lot of elements to it all. And for us, we're all about learning and trying to find out more about, I guess, how we can do better. So we're really lucky that we've got a group of people, not only staff members and that, who have been educated on it regularly, but obviously athletes as well. But we've got a lot of specialists who are coming in and actually giving us more information and educating us so we can learn more and hopefully pass that on. And we just want to be a better football club moving forward.
Yep, keep learning and keep being better. Before we let you go, you would know, or you may not know, because you've probably been busy or had your head down, Nathan Buckley joining the SEN team during breakfast with Gary on Monday and Friday, like full-time, not just for half an hour. He's doing it full-time and also been working with Jared Waitley on Tuesday. The Bucks is in the footy media. He's pretty good.
He is. He's very good. So obviously he had some time in between when he was an assistant coach or retiring and then going through before he was a senior coach. So we know he talks a lot of sense, and I know the SEN share market must be up because he's not cheap, Bucks, but obviously we're wishing that the absolute best for him and hoping everything goes well, and I'm sure it will. I think everyone can speak about how he's been in the media over the last sort of decade or so working as a coach of the Collingwood Football Club, and I know it'd be pretty impressive, and he's a great get for SEN.
Thanks for having the time to share with us in an extended interview, Nick. I really appreciate your time and all the very best to the Pies in season 2022.
No worries. Thanks, guys.